it's a holiday. It might be Thanksgiving night. I'm recording this in case you need, you know, maybe you need to unwind from your Thanksgiving evening or Saturday, Friday or whatever. So this podcast can be here. And I've been thinking, I'm still running down the requests. But I was thinking about Buffalo and all that snow there. And then I was thinking a lot of people love guided meditations. So that was snow guided meditation. And then to be honest with you guys, I grew up in Syracuse, New York. Most of you, some of you know that, some of you don't. Some people claim it's the most gets the most precipitation in the USA or the world or something between snow and rain. I don't know that. I used to call it the gray planet because I don't think again, this is just my memory, but I don't know if the sun comes out between like maybe November 3rd and probably like April, maybe May. It's just gray and snowy and stuff. But at the same time, it's beautiful. And most of my family, my immediate family's moved away, so I don't have like a home base there. I mean, I kind of have, my brother Ted's still there. So I have like a brother base, but that's not the same. Like my parents are gone. And so part of me misses that nostalgia that I don't know if I was 100% present for, of like those nights when the snow would start to fall. And maybe it'd be Thanksgiving, maybe it'd be Christmas, but everybody was already inside and the night had already descended, the deep dark night. And then these heavy, fluffy pieces of snow would start to tumble out of the sky. And that's what they'd do. They'd kind of tumble over themselves and they'd run into each other. They'd get bigger. Some would get smaller. Some would look like little, like they've broken off of a feather. And they'd just be streaming down outside, and the streetlights would be glistening as the snow piled up. And we just silently look out the window and watch the snow fall. The snow starts to pile up slowly, but a lot faster than like slowly would indicate. We look outside. We're warm inside and the streetlights are kind of yellow. The snow's yellow. We look around. The night it's dark. But we sense something, you know, calling us out there. And despite that voice in our head that says, man, it's going to be cold out there. Man, what do you mean? It's the middle of the night. We start to, luckily we're already in a union suit, which is like a one piece red, under, you know, kind of, I think we've talked about it with the miners, but it's a, like a set of, thermal underwear that's one piece, unbelievably, effective at keeping you warm. And we have socks that are tucked into our union suit, nice wool socks, but that kind of wool that feels good and not itchy. Wonder wool, I think they call it. That's what we're calling it tonight. And that's now a patented trademark term, wonder wool. Wonka's make that, Wonka's wonder wool. It's also made from cotton candy, but we're not worried about that at this time because we don't have the activation stick. We lost that last year, so they're just wool socks, Wonder Wool, but without the extra, the Wonka Wonder part, just the Wonder part. And so we know we're warm in our union suit, or you could call it your red underwear, a long underwear suit. If you're boring, it does, in a non-graphic way, have a butt flap, but it's like a double enveloped butt flap. So really no, but if you do need to go to the bathroom, a suitable, you know, guy would have to sit down, and a gal, anybody, is the best way to do it. But we don't have to go. Plus, it's double enveloped, so we don't have any breeze. So we don't even know it's back there, except when, you know, we run around the house like a little cherub with our butt out. But that's not right now, because we're putting on a parka, one of those parkas with the fuzzy hood that parka people wear at archetypal parka moments like this one. And we zip up that crisp crunching of the parka and the zzzz of the zipper. Well, that's probably not. Michael Winslow would do a better job, you know, zip of the zipper up. And that, a hood falls over our head in a cute way. When we pull out of the pocket of our parka, though, is another hat, a watch cap. One of those, probably the warmest cap ever made by the, you know, I don't know which watch company makes it, but I think it's if you're on watch. And tonight we are on watch. We're not sure what we're on watch for. And then we pull up some snow pants that really have a nice line to them. I hear people say that about fashion, and I agree with them, and this time matches our parka. And we just look like great. And then we put on these boots that are probably made by like L.L. Bean. More than likely they have something on the inside that is both comfortable and warming. And they've got that rubber that comes way over the toe. It's like putting your feet inside of waterproof clouds, which, you know, lay that on Mother Nature, waterproof clouds. And we tally some up, tuck our snow pants over our boots, and we walk up to the door. And we realize we probably want mittens. And as I've talked about on this podcast, I highly recommend mittens over gloves. Probably I have some sort of circulation issue, I don't know, but I like them better because then my fingers stay warm. So we put on some thick mittens that, again, match the look of our parka and our pants, but not our union suit. Underneath, you know, we're naked and then covered in a red suit of, you know, like I said, cherubic sounds like cherubics. Maybe I'll have to talk to Brittany Galvan about that. Maybe we could get that would be our holiday special when we're not doing paper folding and yoga mat folding. We could have cherubics. Pretend you got wings, flap them. Now, you know, dance around like you're, you know, it could be good for Valentine's Day too. But we open the door, and we realize there's another door there because it's, you know, winter in Syracuse, New York. You have a door that would be screen door in the non-winter months, but now it's a storm door. I don't know what they call it. It's, you know, screens. The screen's covered in glass. Again, it's, you know, kind of like an air lock, and we got to really push hard, push into that door to push the snow away. Even though there's an eave overhead, it lowered the amount of snow in front of the door. We push it, and it's a little bit of an effort. And it's a back door because we don't want to go out the front door and, you know, make a bunch of noise. Then we close the doors behind us. We're standing under this eave, which is like an overhang, basically just an overhang. We look up. There's no threatening icicles because it's been cold. This is the first winter storm of the year. Even is it fall, though? It's a wonderful blanket of snow. A snow that's been untouched by man. And first reaction is animal. But then we notice these prints going off to the left. They catch our eye for some reason. And we're like, is that those rabbit prints? Or some other I don't know, say, hey, well, if they head into those woods over there. But something about the comfort of our warm union suit and our wonderfully attractive parka with the, you know, brings out our best features, especially our faces. Got that winter flush to it that is just so attractive, in my opinion. Almost looks like a, you know, you just had a run or a hard, you know, great sex flush, or you're embarrassed and you're just so cute when you're embarrassed. Same goes for dudes too. You look good, we like that. So we all look great with our blushed, I don't even know, flushed. And our curiosity's piqued by this, but we're not afraid because we're looking good, we're feeling good in the snow. It's still falling, just in this pattern, slow and consistent, but also random. We watch it at one of the streetlights, just falling. It's like soothing, calming, and almost like hypnotic. I feel like we could just stand here and watch it all day if that wasn't that little thing nagging at us. Let's follow these tracks. Do you think a rabbit's out after dark? Rabbits at night is a rabbit, you know, stew eater's delight. But we're not here to hunt anybody. We're just curious. We start following the tracks. And that's when our boots hit the snow. It's deep. Almost knee deep. But something about us, the energy's higher. Our body core temperature is unbelievably comfortable. We trudge parallel with the tracks. I don't think these are rabbit tracks. It's too dark to tell, though. And that's the first time we notice a sound. It's like a sound we would have probably would never noticed if we didn't just notice it. It's a sound of the snow as it slides, as it lands. We can just hear it barely. But again, it adds to that level of, it's almost so subtle, it's breathtaking at the same time. And kind of thing some Christmas dude would write a poem about, you know, opening the shutters to see what the mutter or, but somebody with, you know, like Robert Frost type character, Ansel Adams, he would have ruined the sound though, snapping his pictures. We trudge along with the rabbit tracks. We get to the edge of the woods. There's a couple of pine trees. One of those pine trees that's more blue than green. Blue-green. But when you know, when you look at something that's actually pine green, this thing is definitely blue. And you think to yourself, it's almost sky blue. Why didn't I never notice that before? And you see someone's trimmed away, you know, the lower portions of the branches, and there's crusty sap. Yes, it's kind of a strange shape. You can smell it almost in the air, the sap. And then you notice the trail goes into a, right where it's dark, right at the edge of the woods where the greener pine trees. Like, man, then why is this blue one off to the left here? But it is, it's proud, it's quiet, and it's beautiful. So are the other trees. Then you wonder, well, someone gave this tree attention and trimmed it. And these other trees are more in the woods. They go all the way to the ground. We follow the trail. And we, you know, we start to wonder. So our experience has told us that this is so peaceful. And you know, we've experienced this kind of peace before, but a lot of times there's nonsense with this peace. especially with a show that we're listening to now. But we know that there's something different tonight just because it's the snow and the sound of the snow, the swishing, just the shape of the flakes as they stumble and touch our face. And it is like feathers as it kisses off our cheek. It's the first time we notice how warm our skin really is, because our quality of our watch cap and our parka. Then when the snow hits our cheek, it melts. We smile. It's, wow. It's like I'm making love to, a billion different snowflakes, except on my face. And that feels good. In a non-making love way, just, musing. Then we follow the trail, we take a few more steps, and we're in the woods. We look around. It's darker here. And that's when the sound changes. It's the snow's running in between the long, thin pine needles. Every once in a while, some snow will fall. It's so subtle. It doesn't frighten us. Not one bit. The trail's still going. We're still following. We're going deeper in. We're about two sets of trees into the woods. That's when we realize it's not really that dark here. It's as dark as it looked from the outside, because the outside, the street lights, and the moon. Well, I can't find the moon, but the moon's definitely shining, because it's really not dark at all. Maybe our eyes have adjusted. Maybe something, I'm not sure. But we follow, we take a few more steps deeper in, following this trail. That's when the moonlight strikes the trail. I realize, okay, it's like 2 feet, not 4 feet. So whatever it is, it's got to be some, maybe it is just a rabbit hopping along. Or some sort of, I don't know, we don't think that much about it. We just keep walking, we're drawn deeper in. The sound of the wind, it's just a light, light breeze, just enough to, actually we can't even place the wind. It's like the tops of the trees are blowing, it's like a swishing, snake-like, meandering river pattern through the tops of the trees. Feels like it's in the distance, like if we just kept going, we'd end up at the shore of a great sea. But we take a few more steps along the side of the trail. Now we're fully in the woods. We remember coming here as a child, and I don't know if I've ever come here at night or in the winter. Maybe in the winter, but never at night. Think, man, oh no, wait, there was that time I decided to run away when I was 6 and I didn't get that gum, and I took my sleeping bag and I stuffed my teddy poo in there, and I took, I managed to take the Cheerios out of the box and just take the bag, and then I said, that's it, I'm leaving. And I went into these woods and I decided I would sleep under one of these trees. And you remember you had something else with you. What was it? Was it a book? It was like a board book, like a heavily laminated board book. Can't remember. But yeah, you remember you set up your sleeping bag, and you thought, this is actually pretty sweet under here. But then you wondered, then you went home, You didn't stay there. Whatever happened, happened, but... And I did forget that board book, so you just said, you see this one tree. I think that's the tree that I did hide under. And you get down on your knees. And then your hands, and because you have such quality gear on, like mittens, parka, you barely even notice that the snow is cold, and you just feel comfortable. And you look under the tree, and before you climb under the tree, you roll around in the snow on your back. And you lie your arms down. You can really hear it now. You can hear the snow on the ground crinkling, making some strange noise that you can only hear at that level. It's a crinkling type sound, though. Maybe a leaky type sound. But it feels good lying here, cushioned. And instead of crawling, you just decide to push yourself with your feet. Your head first, under the tree, almost like a mechanic going under a car. And some of the pine bristles, they tickle your nose, but they miss your eyes because of that wonderful parka with the little non-animal fur trim, you know, never taken from an animal, just probably some sort of wonderful recycled, you know, globally sourced free trade trim, just like your parka is and everything else. And then you're under the tree, and it's a really powerful smell of pine under there, of sap and pine leaves, and you're surrounded with dead brown and red pine needles all around you. You're surprised how dry it is. You know, I think to yourself, you could almost start a fire under here if you needed to. Probably wouldn't be a good idea, but you could. And you put yourself up on one arm and you pick up a mitten full of needles. You just look at them. You pat the ground. Think about, for a second at least, like, what would it be like to really, you know, bring someone under here and really get it, you know, get it on. You know, that person that you've been thinking about, that person you're already with, that you want to spice it up a little bit. Probably not the idea you'll ever remember and follow through on, which you're like, wow, this is a, it's a little bit of a low, you know, probably only missionary only or something similar to that. But, but it's almost just a fantasy because you just... The other person will think, but maybe, you never know if you do. Maybe let me know about it, maybe not. And then you, brush away, you laugh and you brush away the thing like your lover just sat up and you're rushing the pine. And then you notice it, a little blue and a little white on the corner of your eye. And that's when you see it, it's your book. You start to dig. And it's only covered in pine needles and just a little bit of dead matter, like dirt, but mostly just decomposed pine needles and leaves. Like, wow, how many years has it been? And the book, because of the chemically treated paper and inks, is in, other than the cover, it's a little faded. It's like the elf that loved rubber balls. And then it goes through every letter of the alphabet, only up to G for some reason, because it's one of those board books that's real thick. You know, it talks about A ball, B for ball, C, my ball, call my ball, I don't know, doll. Doll ball of something. I didn't write the book, so I don't have an exact photographic memory of it, but you do because you used to own it. It might not even be that book. It might be something else, like, you know, the bear that loved balls, or child that loved bears. Bear that loved, no, it's definitely not the bear that loved children. The elf that loved children. Yeah, probably could be that too. The elf that loved bears, probably that would be more for elves or bears. So, but it's a, you remember, yeah, you stuck it. You know, the great thing about this park is there's a pocket perfect for a board book. You tuck it in that pocket, and then you think for a second, you say, no. You put it back, and you bury it again. You make a note. You say, man, you know, I want to come back here. If I'm not going to come back here, you know, to get, reflush my face at some point, I come back here maybe one day, maybe with a child or maybe not, and refine this book. I hope I remember that. I hope this, I have this opportunity. And that's when you hear something outside. You say, what was that? And you hear it sounds like a squish, squish in the snow. But again, you're so at peace. And actually, as you sit up, you have a perfect view of the trees. Back to that one street light that we've been looking at. The yellow light. And the snow is still going at that same random clip. You could say it's streaming. If you're a weather person, you might say it's flurrying through the light, on the edge of the light, textured, layered, whatever you want to call it, beautiful, comforting. And you slide out from under the tree, and you look around for the source of the sound, and then you hear it again, squish, 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 squish. You know that whatever was making that trail, it's got to be close. So you freeze and just tilt your head, and you know you don't want to frighten whatever it is. Then you look around the tree, and you see something over there. But you can't quite be sure what it is. It's like, I don't know. So you start to crawl. You crawl around the edge of the tree, slowly, and you hear squish, squish again. You sit there silent for another second, and you hear squish, squish again. You get a little bit closer, and as it comes into view, and as you recall it now, it's almost like something you could never put into words. Never even explain it, never even put it into a relatable concept. Because what you see is like the essence of the night, of the snow, of the trees. It's there in some form, but it's not as what you'd say to somebody when they ask why you're smiling so big the next day. But that really doesn't do it justice either. But the essence of what's been magical about the snow falling and the sound of the snow, the smell, the trees, the taste and the scent of the air, the feeling of the snow on your face against your wonderfully lined parka, incredibly fashionable boots and pants, and of course the comforting grip of your underwear or union suit, whatever you want to call it. It's there in front of you. And you know it's not though, but it is. It's wonderful, so wonderful. And it's like the biggest smile you've ever seen. Almost like people try to put it in images and the child smiling or a forest creature smiling. You begin to think to yourself, maybe this is what an elf is when people try to put it into words, but you know this isn't that, well, it is real, but it's not something that'll ever, you may never see it again, and it's not a creep, well, you know, like, I can't waste my breath explaining it to you, but this is why I'm smiling so much today. And that, what you take away from it, what you'll remember years from now, other than that it was a great idea to have sex under that tree, and to save that book to bring one of your children to find, you know, totally, you know, different moments in your life, or at least in the same part of the day when somebody was watching your kid earlier, is what you always take away from this moment. And we remember when you're 60, it's that feeling you felt inside as you observed or took in whatever it was. It's a comfort. And just a sense of like, yeah, there is wonder left here. Maybe it's the wonder of the snow falling, just taking it in and listening. But maybe there is something more here. This thingamajig I'm seeing, is it called me in here to experience this? Or was it always here to experience? And from now on, every time you put on a extremely expensive parka, or even a one that's more affordable, or snow pants, or union suit with a butt flap, or mittens, or nice, or any boots, or you see snow showering down, or you smell the pitch of pine leaking out of a tree, you'll remember that's not it. That's, there's something more there. Maybe that's all I'm supposed to do is notice it. I'm not sure. But it creates a stillness inside you that you can take with you deep into sleep, that you can rely on this memory that's unexplainable, yet readily available to people, especially Buffalonians, but also imaginarians. And maybe not everybody has Wonderwool socks and the other stuff, but it's out there just waiting for you to notice it. And when you do, you also notice something that was inside you that you're not sure you can put words to, but that lets you know it's going to be okay. And that is more than that, that it's that you can breathe, and that there are places for you to rest, to bed down, to feel, to be safe, to be okay, to enjoy, to notice the wonder. And you look at this, whatever's happening in front of you, you smile, you laugh, you get the sense that it laughs back, like something out of a Third Close Encounters of the Third Kind or something wonderful like that. But you know, this is not a UFO type alien situation, but you get the sense that it laughs back at you. And then probably when you're, you know, back there, whatever, it's going to probably be watching, enjoying that too, but you do feel oneness, I guess, or a fellowship or a companionship with the everything around you. And you hope that you'll remember this when you need it most, whether it's in a time of crisis or in a time of just an evening when you woke up and you said, what's going on out there? Let me see. And it's here for you. And then it wants to just be enjoyed and noticed, that's all. And if a strange essence of nature and wonder and water and frozen, you know, sublimation and vapor street lights and sounds and smells could wink at you, it just did. You walk back to the house through the snow. You notice how much it's snowed since you've been gone. Like you can feel for the first time. But it really looks cool. And as you approach the house, you take that street light in one more time. Watch the snow. You look out in the distance and you see the trees. You see the houses. You see the empty spaces in between all covered in snow. And you think this really isn't so bad. And things are going to be alright tomorrow. Now I can rest. For something inside me has been both comforted and stirred. And that's what you do. You go inside and you strip off all your clothes except for your wonderful union suit. Pull the covers up. Bed down. Close your eyes and you picture yourself on a bed of pine needles. The sound of snow enveloping you. You drift off. At rest. Asleep. Good night.